Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises, or the underwriters of this station. Hello, and welcome to Dig This Environmental Watch. I'm host Pamela Spoto. Craig Boyer will join our discussion, and Shane Houchins is our engineer. Today we are featuring a new organic farm called Fulfilling Fields Organic Farm in Anderson, right down the road from Reading. And we have two guests, Carrie Lustig, owner of this farm and forensic psychologist, as well as Jim Collins, PhD, organic farm advisor and eco-psychologist. Hello, Carrie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. And hello, Jim.
Hello. Good to be here.
And I'm so glad to have you both in the studio. I think this is kind of a high-powered show. I have two psychologists here. I really like psychologists, too.
We're usually interesting.
That is true. You help us look at ourselves. Well, sometimes.
And you have one social worker.
Oh, that's right. You are a social worker. And I'm glad that you. So, I mean, we're just loaded with power here today. So that's wonderful. So I'm going to begin by reading both of the bios for our two guests, Carrie and Jim, and I certainly find them interesting, and I think our listeners will find them interesting as well. So I'm going to start with Carrie. Carrie Lustig is the owner of Fulfilling Fields Organic Farm. She is a new organic farm owner and has been a social worker for 20 years. Carrie Lustig has a BA in psychology with a minor in sociology from CSU Chico and an MA in forensic psychology from Argosy University in Washington, D.C. She provided social services for juveniles and adults struggling with severe mental illness and forensic issues in Washington, D.C. However, after several challenging years of social work in the city, she longed for the peacefulness of her home in sunny California. Upon her return to California, she worked with individuals with developmental disabilities for 9 years at Far Northern Regional Center. She has worked with individuals with developmental disabilities such as autism for the duration of her career in numerous settings. She informally studied organic market farming and the links between diet, gut health, lifestyle, and mental health for about 2 years before she had the idea for this farm. And we're going to be really exploring some of those issues today as well. And then Dr. Jim Collins, known as Red Tail, is an eco-psychologist, transformational coach, organic mini farmer, a wisdom keeper in the lineage of the Lake of Shamans of Peru, and a many-time sun dancer in the Lakota sacred tradition. Former manager of the Shasta College Organic Teaching Garden, he is an organic farming consultant and sustainability activist with decades of gardening and farming experience. He is the author of the forthcoming book, Walk Like a Fox, Dance Like an Eagle. So listeners, there you have it about our two guests. So we're just going to jump right in here, and I'm going to ask Carrie if she could tell us what her farm looks like in terms of layout. I mean, so our listeners can kind of imagine as we go through the show today what exactly we're talking about. So Carrie, what could you tell us?
Well, it's my family land, and it's located in Anderson, and it's up on a beautiful plateau surrounded by our mountains. And basically, we have started from scratch with a lot of our, you know, what we're used to, which is total clay soil, fields of weeds, and just some really basic infrastructure. And it's been quite the project. So we started with a few trees in our orchard that were very neglected. And we've been building our orchard, building greenhouses, and also all of the infrastructure that we needed for an acre and a half of biointensive gardens.
It sounds good, and it sounds like it's a lot of work as we, you know, go along
boy
here.
Boy, howdy.
Pardon me?
I said, boy, howdy.
Oh, yes.
Did you have any star thistle?
Not too much.
And so I think maybe we could also begin with the guiding principles of the farm, or your mission statement, or your objectives, or all of those things in terms of how you see the farm proceeding. So what could you tell us about that?
Overall, my goal is to be able to provide more meaningful employment opportunities for those with developmental disabilities. We have really limited employment opportunities for them, and they are perfectly capable of doing much more than anyone is really giving them credit for. And so that is part of what inspired me, you know, all these years of meeting with my clients and hearing what they're passionate about and what they really enjoy doing every day, and working outside, working with animals. These are all things that they were really inspired by and interested in, but there wasn't anything that I could do to refer them to, you know, get them involved in anything like that. So I was just thinking and planning all of these different things, and they were inspiring me along the way. Everyone I met with kind of added to my ideas and planted the seeds in my brain to the farm. And
Yes, and you are also a nonprofit, or you're getting that status of nonprofit right now?
We are in pending nonprofit status, which is a whole new learning experience, and as every aspect of this has been. But yes, so we are nonprofit, and we're also working in collaboration with two other nonprofits right now. And my partner program is called CPE Programs. They're a day program for those with autism. And they came on board with me to help support me and bring me workers. And they also have a food pantry. So that's how we ended up connecting on this project.
So maybe that we can better understand. So during the week, every day of the week, do you have some of these young adults with developmental disabilities coming out, and they are brought out by CPE, or is it just a few days a week, or how does that work?
It's been 3 days a week. We actually have three different programs in town that now are sending us clients. Two of them are just, you know, one day a week they come and they volunteer, and they help us with our flower garden and stuff like that.
Do you want to say a little bit about that? Now, those individuals, adults, are Down syndrome?
Some of them are.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are.
And so you have given, there's a plot of land there that would be for flowers, and it's just really fun to get into
Absolutely.
The soil and plant the flowers.
And they've done an amazing job. We're going to have so much color and so many different varieties of flowers growing out there. It's really exciting to watch it. And every week when they come out, they see what they've done,
what we've done
in the last week, and they just get really excited, and it's awesome to see.
So that is one group of people that come out to be on the farm, to help on the farm, to work on the farm. And then you have some autistic young men that come out. Is it 3 days a week?
They've been coming out 3 days a week for a few hours, and that has been awesome. And just recently, they are coming on board 5 days a week so that we can really get prepared for our CSA food box delivery service, which they're also helping us with.
And as we go along here in this interview about the farm, we're certainly going to be talking about the CSAs, because that is a wonderful, wonderful possibility that people can get involved in. And as I'm looking here at your mission statement, I believe here you say that your first year has been focused on establishing the basic infrastructure, getting our fruit orchard planted, and this acre and a half of biodynamic vegetable gardens built and planted. And then from there, you're going to, as I understand it, it's this multi-layered project. For example, you want to gather enough funds to be able to build, you know, greenhouses and a chicken coop and those kinds of things.
We have a lovely lady in Shingletown who's offered to donate her entire flock of chickens to us and some ducks. And I am dying to bring them to our farm, but we still have some infrastructure we need to finish. We have a crew of a new crew of volunteers who will be coming on board to help us finish that in a timely manner, because we have so many other projects that we're trying to focus on as well. And but I really believe, I really want to have the farm fresh eggs and have everybody be able to experience that. And, you know, ultimately, my view of everything is to incorporate, you know, a farm animal rescue as well on the property, and also have a companion dog training. So we have a lot of things on the horizon that we're working on, but you can only start so big.
Where you start, yes. And there are just so many layers and dimensions to this. And I know you said that you were going to be having another crew coming out. And I think maybe we should talk a little bit about this now. And I don't know if you were referring to the veterans at that point.
We have some possible veterans coming on soon. And then we also have another group from Cottonwood that they are assembling to bring in for a week or so to help us finish our fencing, finish our chicken coops, and get some cover crops in certain sections of the garden so that we can build that soil for next spring and expand the garden. So we have, and we also really need to raise some funds to build a large greenhouse or two greenhouses so that we can extend our season and be a year-round farm.
Yes, and so maybe if we can kind of look at putting this, because there are so many different dimensions to this.
I know, it's hard to explain what I'm doing, and there are so many different players involved.
Right, right.
That it gets really complicated, and it's hard to explain.
So I think we need to step back just a little bit here. So you have, is it an acre and a half or an acre and a quarter that you have in intensive planting right now?
It's an acre and a half.
Okay, so you have an acre and a half of land, and you've planted many different kinds of vegetables and melons and so forth, and we're going to talk more about that as well. You have developmentally disabled individuals coming out to help, and this is part of a vocational training as well. And then you're going to have, hopefully have veterans come out. You're going to have animals there as well too. Now, I think I would like to ask you both, you and Jim, why is this important? I mean, how is this, what about working in the soil, working in the land, petting the animals, eating, and see, a part of this that is so important is this good, clean, organic food that's non-GMO, you know, and you have heirlooms, and it's just, it's beautiful, and it's healthy. So can we talk about, there's the health benefit nutritionally, but there's the health benefit of being there. So could you both speak to that? Because you're both these wonderful psychologists. Speak to that a little bit?
Well, it's the mind-body connection. I mean, what you do with your body for your body immediately translates to what you're doing for your mind and how you feel and how you respond to others and, you know, your moods. Everything is linked, and it's pretty hard to deny, you know. And it's interesting to see every day when our clients show up, especially Monday mornings. Monday mornings are rough for everybody, right? But our clients show up, they're angry, they're frustrated, they've had one of those weekends with a lot of drama, and they're venting immediately when they walk in the door, usually. And so I'm like, okay, I hear you, I understand, and this is what we really need to be focusing on today because we don't have a lot of time. And so we just get out there and we start working, and within 10 minutes I hear them laughing and I hear them joking and working together as a team. And as soon as I hear that, it just, it kind of reminds me of something my dad used to always say that drove me nuts. He used to say, if you have a problem, go mow the lawn. And here I am, a teenager, going, that's the most insensitive thing I've ever heard in my life, you know? And now I get it. It alters your brain chemistry, you know? I mean, it changes everything, just being outside. And then if you're really engaged in something with a purpose at the same time, growing food for yourself, growing food for the community, it's a very empowering thing.
Gary, I wanted to find out how much time they spend out there. Is it 2 hours, 4 hours? How much time do they spend out there two floors? How many hours?
So far, it's been Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 a.m. to about 1. Okay. And so it's been, you know, pretty limited, and that's why we got a little bit behind on some of our stuff. And we started bringing in more volunteers, and now they're going to be coming on 5 days a week with, you know, hopefully getting out more like 9:30 and then earlier. Leaving at 1. And then, yeah, and then the heat hits anyway, and it's
right.
Everybody needs to be done by then. Yeah. Well, except me.
That's right. Not only are you working with all these different dimensions and making the connections and doing a lot of business and paperwork and establishing contracts and figuring things out, you are out there seeding and watering and digging and doing those things.
I'm doing 6 full-time jobs right now. And I definitely have those moments where I stop and realize I must be crazy to do this. Uh-huh. But I'm doing what I'm passionate about.
Right, right. And so I want to ask Jim Collins, there's research also, and Carrie touched on that as well as talking about, you know, really empirical data of watching these young people and older people come out and how their moods change, how just being outside can make a person feel better. And there's research about being outside, about getting so could you talk about that a little bit too?
Well, as an eco-psychologist, that's been my focus for a long time, is based on the observation that our disconnection from nature, which is an epidemic in our culture, has led to much mental health problems, and it's pretty pervasive. In fact, I believe the disconnection, including getting connected to devices rather than to nature, is a real problem for us, and leads to emotional and psychological problems. Not only disconnection from nature, but disconnection from ourselves in that process. So for me, just being in nature and getting back connected, in whatever way you do that, be it going out on long walks, or, you know, working, particularly getting your hands in the soil, planting trees, planting your own food, being self-reliant, all of these things are mental health therapies. And we could call that, in the rubric of ecotherapy, that is a major focus for me, is I believe that when I help people this way, I don't really have to be the answer man as a psychologist. I'm there to guide them into making their own connection, and then they obtain a healing benefit from that. And it has many different dimensions: spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological. And so this is a real focus here, and what we're trying to do for these young people who are out there working for us, but also for ourselves too, because we all need to get back into nature, I think. And so we're encouraging that on a number of different levels. And for me, it's largely a spiritual issue. It's how do we find out who we are? We're not going to find it in a cell phone or on the TV, or even in a book nowadays. We're gonna find it by getting back in touch with the natural world.
Yes, yes, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I want to remind our listeners that this is KKRN Community Radio, Bella Vista, Round Mountain. You're listening to Dig This Environmental Watch. I'm host Pamela Spoto, and we're talking with Carrie Lustig and Jim Collins about Carrie's new farm. She is the owner of Fulfilling Fields Organic Farm, and we're joined in the studio by Craig Boyer as well. And I also wanted to interject here, because I've read some studies on in prison systems, or people with PTSD, you know, military people coming back, veterans, as Carrie had mentioned, that there's this healing component about being in nature. Even the trees, I don't know, they give off pheromones, or they give off this particular aroma that touches us, that touches our brains. And the idea of working with animals and petting them, we were talking earlier a little bit about this, just, I think blood pressure goes down to something.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All of the neurotransmitters in your brain, all of the happy neurotransmitters just explode when you're having that connection with an animal, or you're connecting with the earth in some way. You know, even just throwing a ball between you and another person increases the oxytocin levels in the brain. You know,
putting your hands in the soil.
Yes, it's very simple. And, you know, I feel it every day, all day now. And I am very privileged to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is wonderful. And I remember reading more about this too, in terms of depression, that with mild to moderate, and it might even be severe, I don't know, mild to moderate depression, that psychologists were taking their clients, instead of sitting in an office on a couch, they were taking them for strolls, either in the forest or through apple orchards or whatever the case may be. Oh, yeah. And that in itself, that walking, that movement, being around the, being in the outdoors, just helped elevate the moods.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One of the most powerful things I have ever done as a therapist has been working with Vietnam veterans and taking them out in the wilderness, and also teaching them how to plant their own food and how to grow their own food. And I have noticed some incredible therapeutic benefits from that didn't require any psychological theorizing or any diagnosing. It just had
or
to do with their
psychotropic medication. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes,
had
yes.
them getting in touch with some things that that are natural in the natural world. And there's not a lot of push we got to do with that. The camping trips were a bit strange at first, but because we had a few flashbacks, we'd sit around the campfire all night. I didn't get much sleep. And we'd talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. And things mm-hmm. were coming up that they never talked about. They never looked at before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed that with some of our clients. A lot of symptoms of PTSD and issues are coming up as we're out there working together mm-hmm. in the field. And mm-hmm. I believe that's part of the therapy kicking in. It's
absolutely.
Like, okay, I'm recognizing that there are changes in my body happening right now. There are changes in my mind, and these are things that perhaps have been clogging my mind for a little while, and I need to talk about it now. And then we move on, and then you just feel the difference.
And you brought up something just a moment ago, but you both did, that was part of the study about not sitting in the client's office, but going out into nature. But it was also in lieu of medication, instead of medication. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. wasn't like we're going to go out and you're going to pop some pills. It was we're going to go out, and this helps you as much as or more than the medication that you could be taking. So I think...
No bad side effects.
Oh, yeah. I think it's true. A substitution. Really, people who get out and work outside and have meaningful interactions with nature, they don't need medications, and they're soon able to get off them. And I've seen that many times.
I wish more people could have that opportunity in their lives.
And we could pursue that. I mean, I'd like to pursue that, but I'm not going to. But that's really, really true, because I think our culture, this is where I was going to go, is that we tend to pop pills. We mm-hmm. I'm going to open this bottle. I'm going to pop this pill. If I need to be more sexual, if I need to be more happy, if I need to lose weight, I just take these pills, right?
Or compulsively shop. We have all of these symptoms of our misery of sitting at a desk all day or staring at a screen all day.
Right, right.
There are so many expressions of that being toxic for us.
And that disconnect.
Yes. And the disconnection, you know, we have this illusion of, oh, we're more connected because now we're on Facebook and I have 200 million friends and followers. You're not really connected. Are you really? I mean, it's not the same as a face-to-face connection. It's not the same as, you know, going out to dinner with a friend.
That is so true. And sometimes in the classroom, I've asked students how many friends they have. Do you have 488 friends? And, you know, and I mentioned that I probably have two really close friends. And I mean, that is a face-to-face, intimate, heart-to-heart
someone
contact.
That you would call when you were hurting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or in joy.
Yes.
You're really, you know, happy.
At a depth.
Yes. Want to share it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Carrie, I meant to ask you this a little bit earlier, but this is just perfectly fine now. It's about the vision for the farm. And when we were talking earlier, I think your mother had said, don't forget to say something about...
Oh, yeah,
So in terms of how this vision came about, because as a forensic psychologist and what you were doing here in Reading as well, I mean, you were in an office, were you not, 5 days a week?
Yes, for 20 years.
So now you're out on this wonderful farm, your farm. So how did that come about? I mean,
I had a lot of personal things happen to me that really changed my life. My father passed away, and that was extremely traumatic. And you know, I couldn't even go to where the farm is right now for a while without falling apart, and I avoided it. And then I found myself drawn to it more and more. And every time I went there, I realized I was feeling more connected. I didn't know how I couldn't really grasp it, but I just felt more connected. And so I kept finding time to sneak over there and just take a break when no one was there. And I realized that I was feeling disconnected from my father. I was feeling disconnected from nature, just my lifestyle, my career. It was all sitting at a desk. Mm-hmm. And then I adopted a baby. And that was another huge, you know, life-altering thing. And I wanted her to have a healthy gut because I'd been researching that and had a pretty good understanding of how that worked. And I was trying to feed her organically, you know, pretty much 100%. And it was costing me about as much as it was to pay my mortgage to do that.
Wow.
And not just her. I have, you know, my boyfriend and his teen son, you know. But still, it was costing me a fortune, and it just was infuriating me. We shouldn't have to pay that much to not eat chemicals.
Right.
And to not poison ourselves. And so there was that aspect. And then I'm meeting with my clients, and they're telling me, I want to work outside. I don't want to be stuck in this building with all these people all day anymore. And, you know, they're having behaviors, and they're getting set off. And, you know, all of these different things came together. And then I hopped in the shower one morning before work. Normal shower, not quite awake yet, not enough coffee in my brain. And then boom, like a lightning bolt, this idea hit me for the farm. And it just embodied everything that I had been struggling with. And I came running out of the shower. My mom had just shown up. She watches my daughter during the day. And you know, I just said, oh, I just had this amazing idea. You have to listen to this. I'm going to be late for work again. But, you know, and so I just started explaining it to her. And the more I talked about it, the more excited I got. And the more I started talking to other people, and they got excited about it. And then just one thing led to another. And then I got connected with Jim. And then I got connected with CPE. And it was just like all these things fell into a row. And I just went, ah, this is a huge, scary risk. But I had kind of reached that point of no return, and I had to take that risk.
That is a wonderful story and a wonderful vision. Truly, truly it is. And then from that running out of the shower and telling your mother this, I mean, it has manifested. I mean, that is so wonderful. And so this is your first year of developing the farm, and you've just put your whole self into it and made connections and plans and so forth. And you have wonderful things growing in your farm, on your land. And we're going to be talking more about that after we take a little break. But before we take the break, and you brought this up about organic food, gut health, clean food, and I was hoping that both you and Jim could speak to that, because I am like adamant about not wanting pesticides and insecticides and fungicides, you know, on my food. I don't have to eat poison, and it is so remarkable that before I became really aware as I am today, I mean, I would stop at a corner and buy some strawberries, you know, out of the fields. That are not organic, and for example, strawberries are one of the most heavily pesticided foods there
Absolutely.
Is. And I would wonder why my mouth would break out, you know, for a period of time. And I thought, oh my goodness, I guess I'm just allergic to strawberries. That's not the case at all. You know, I can eat organic strawberries and not have that issue. And just one more thing I want to say about this before you talk about it more is that mother's breast milk, I mean, we can find there's over 200 different chemicals. I thought it was 400. It probably is, but at least 200 different chemicals that are found in mother's breast milk, including rocket fuel, including Roundup, including, you know, different kinds of insecticides. And those should not be there. You know, we are poisoning ourselves. Yeah. So why is organic clean food important? Can you elaborate even more so? And some people believe that, oh, but we can't feed the world if we just do organic. And that is a myth.
Well, that's folly. That's absolutely not true. And, for example, the Rodale Institute has done extensive research on this. And that if we were to turn, just for this one example, if we were to turn all of our farmland into organic production, we would be the equivalent of taking billions of cars off the road in terms of climate change and things like that. But moreover, there's a lot of stuff we don't get in our diets if we don't eat the skins of fruits, as an example, because the skin of the fruit has all the antioxidants in it. And we really badly need antioxidants now because of all the poisoning, because of all the toxicity that we're exposed to on so many different levels, electromagnetically, what's coming out of the sky, pollutions, and not to mention the pesticides and herbicides and all that kind of thing, and the residues of chemical farming that's killing the soil. We have a problem with our brains atrophying because of inflammation, which is directly related to what's happening in our gut, and directly related to our diet, and our inability to get all the things we need, as well as the exposure to poisons and pesticides. Pesticides are the leading cause of Parkinson's disease, for one thing, and the list goes on and on.
And I know that at the turn of one century, it was the early 1900s, that the cancer rates, and I've checked this and double-checked this and triple-checked this, it was like 1 in 30, 1 in 40 people were getting cancer. And then there was the war on cancer. It's like this war, like the war on insects with pesticides, but the war on cancer.
We're always at war.
And so then now, after this huge war for over 100 years on cancer, the latest stats say 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will develop cancer in their lifetimes. And we can't, in my opinion, separate the poisons that we ingest, the pollution in our world, from us getting sicker, mm-hmm. not being healthier. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why I'm just a really strong proponent of clean food, clean, yeah. organic food. And Carrie, absolutely. Before we take a break, would you like to say anything else about this?
Oh, there are so many things that you can touch on with that.
Yes, that's true. So why don't we take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll just pick up from there. Let me remind the listeners that we are, this is KKRN, this is Dig This, Environmental Watch, and we're talking about Fulfilling Fields Organic Farm.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich. How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see, if ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we, as we take, 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 take. Like a good mother, Mother Nature keeps giving, but her heart must be ready to break. She's being abused and overused by her children who choose to ignore. There's only so much that she can give before she can give no more. Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let me not greed lead the way. We poison the air, we poison the land, and we poison the water we drink. And we're the only known creatures in the whole universe with the ability to think. But we keep on thinking, happiness lies in how much we buy and sell. And more of paradise is lost, and only time will tell what will become of Mother Nature in the coming years, when we will have about 10 billion neighbors on the sphere. Will our children's children wake up to the American dream? Or will it have become a nightmare beyond imagining? Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let me not greed lead the way. We use so much and waste so much. How much do we really need? And how long can a dream survive that seems to thrive on greed? A little pollution is so thick and dark and dense. It contaminates and poisons common good and common sense. Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and find
finally realized that our tomorrows would have been gone. What we do today, let need not greed lead the way.
Carrie, I'd like to know what CPE stands for, and our listeners would also like to know about CSA.
Okay, CPE is, they're my partner program. They're called Creative Positive Environment. And their goal is to connect those with autism with vocational opportunities as well as employment opportunities in the community.
And how are they funded?
They are funded through Far Northern Regional Center, where I used to work.
Okay, very good.
And so moving from there to CSAs, I think that that is a really important that our audience know more about those. What is, it's community-supported agriculture, for example. Now, could you talk about, I mean, they're boxes, so could you just talk a little bit about that? And then we're going to talk about what you're growing and what you will be putting into those boxes in case our listeners, we're going to talk about if listeners want to help in some way, how that might come about. But let's start with the CSAs. Now, you built boxes.
We are actually building our own vintage produce boxes. It's been one of those things that I didn't think would be that enjoyable to do. I never got into woodworking before, but it's very satisfying to build your own produce boxes. And so we've gotten into that, and we've been learning a bit about that. And we're trying to build a lot more so that we can make room for, hopefully, quite a few customers that we'll be serving in the community. And so we're aiming for our weekly food box delivery service to begin early August.
Right, and so this might happen in several different ways. And in my mind, I'm in the studio here. I'm going, well, the boxes are about this long and about this high. You know, I'm thinking about a medium-sized box. And I know that when Jim was involved with the Shasta College Organic Garden, that we had just the regular cardboard boxes. We thought those were cool, but this is really cool.
Well, these are awesome because they're so stackable,
nothing will
get smashed or damaged during transport. And, you know, then if people have add-on items, which we can talk about, you know, then that'll be a little bag that we set on the side of the box or maybe on top, depending on the weight. But at least, you know, we know that we can transport more at one time. We could be more efficient.
Right.
And not waste as much gas.
And you've had help building, putting those boxes together with some of the young adults that come out to your farm.
Yes, our CPE farm crew. We've been all working on those together.
So that is so wonderful.
It's been really fun.
So CSAs can work in several different ways. Sometimes people have to sign up for them, and then they can get them once a week. And I think, Carrie, that's how you were going to do yours. So they're delivered four times a month, probably the same day. They're either delivered or there's a meeting spot somewhere in Reading that people could come, let's say, at 9 a.m. on a particular morning, pick up their boxes, and then you're going to have a return box, and they have to return these vintage boxes unless they want to get charged for them. Yes. So then let's go into, I mean, you have a list of items here it always depends on the weather, what is producing, what is coming ripe that week as to what goes into the box. So what are some of the things that people might be surprised with when they open their boxes?
Yeah, the unpredictability about everything in our crops is why we diversify so much and we have so many different varieties going on. But I mean, we have a ridiculous number of tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes. And so we have a lot of different varieties there. We've got the beefsteak tomatoes, lots of different cherry tomatoes, and then the good slicing tomatoes.
Brandy wines?
Yes, brandy wines. All right. And some crims, Stupas, Cherokee, and mortgage lifters. Those are the ones I'm really looking forward to. Those are the huge beefsteak ones.
And I want to just interject here for a moment if I might. And I think Jim had told me the story about mortgage lifter, the name mortgage lifter. Mm-hmm. And the person who developed that tomato and when it became such a saleable item that lifted his mortgage up because he was going to go broke. And so it was, so
it
go ahead.
Literally helped, he paid off his mortgage with his tomatoes.
So awesome.
And he developed the tomato himself.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It has various capabilities, one of which is a good drought tolerant and heat tolerant tomato.
So maybe we should have done more of those.
Well, there's
all
the tomatoes were selected for their resiliency. The cherry tomatoes are particularly resilient in the heat, and we have several different varieties. The Crims, the Arkansas Traveler is another really delicious red tomato that is heat tolerant. So that's one of the things that went into our planning is what we needed to have.
The Mortgage Lifters, what's the flavor like on that one?
It's a really rich, kind of a pinkish red tomato.
But I mean the flavor.
It's it's a classic tomato
super
flavor.
Sweet.
It's very sweet. Good. Yeah,
and I know that I have a friend and I won't name him, but he's a wonderful. He sold transplants, organic transplants here in Reading, and he really liked kind of tart, sour tomatoes, and I just don't. That's not my favorite. I love those sweet cherry tomatoes and
that
Mortgage
Lifter.
I think
that's what most people are looking for.
They're so wonderful.
See, my brother and I were raised, you know, on 100 acres, and we had all sorts of friends and family who grew their own everything. And so we got spoiled with the most amazing tomatoes, and we've been total tomato snobs ever since, you know. So
yeah, most
we're both
of our various,
dying for our tomatoes.
Yeah, most of our varieties are very rich tomatoes. They're a very rich tomatoey taste. We have some paste tomatoes. We have some that really make a good sauce. We have great slicers. So we've really, and these, I chose a lot of these varieties because I've had a lot of experience with all of them. And I save seeds for them, and I've developed some of my own. So and that's what I was looking for, is the really rich tomato flavor that most people like.
And I was grateful to have Jim's input on that, because when I was looking at my catalogs for seeds, I was just getting overwhelmed.
It's overwhelming.
I just wanted to buy everything because it looked so good.
Of course.
And then you read the description and it's like, sold. I can't afford all that.
Craig, were you going to say something?
Yeah, question. I was wondering, I've heard that Monsanto doesn't allow for saving of seeds, but now that's not true with tomatoes and such as that?
Well, Monsanto has no control over that. They're trying to make more rules to keep us from doing this, of course.
Seed saving,
but at this point, you can save.
Yeah, Monsanto has bought up a lot of, and other companies too, have bought up a lot of the heirloom seed varieties and discontinued them because they don't want that seed diversity. They want to go to GMOs and they want to control the market. They want to control seeds, which, you know, well, I don't even go into how terrible that is. But growing certain kinds of produce, you can save your seeds. There are laws against trading and selling them, though, so it's an issue of how available they are now. But you can save them, and I've been saving seeds since I was a kid, and there's a lot of people who do that. A lot of good gardeners will save their own seeds because that's the best way to get the good heirlooms.
And that's one thing we're learning as well. We're letting all of our beautiful romaine heads and lettuce heads go to seed right now so we can learn how to do that.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I know that because I was looking at what you might have, some of your offerings in your CSA boxes, and I know you had beets, and the names are so incredible.
Bull's blood.
I know, bull's
blood. That doesn't sound very appealing,
does it?
Appetizing.
Detroit.
They're pretty good.
Detroit. Red, you know, and the golden ones. And then, so what else do you have? You have these wonderful tomatoes, beets.
We have at least 3 to 5 different varieties of each thing that we're growing. Our eggplants, we're going to do the classic black beauties. We're doing some Thai purple ribbed ones and some ping tongue. Those are the long purple eggplants. And then we're going to do several varieties of onions, because who doesn't love onions all the time? And then we also just harvested about 500 pounds of beautiful garlic bulbs. So I'm excited about garlic, farm fresh garlic. I've never had that before. Not like this.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Also, we have the beets, and we have several different varieties of carrots. We've got the Danvers, and then we've got some longer orange carrots and the cosmic purple carrots. And then we have lots of sweet bell peppers, pretty much every color, green, red, orange, yellow, and several varieties of summer squash, yellow zucchini, green, crookneck, golden scallop and lemon squash. And then I just direct seeded our winter squash as well. And so we're going to have a lot of butternut and delicata and spaghetti squash. And then we have a whole bed of sweet potatoes. And we're going to do several beds of greens so that people can have fresh greens. And in this summer heat, it's going to be bags of lettuce instead of the what we're getting known for, which is our gigantic romaine heads and mm-hmm. lettuce heads. We'll have those back as soon as fall hits.
Yes, yes.
Can't wait for those again. And then we also have huge rainbow and Swiss chard growing right now. I mean, they're beautiful.
Watermelon.
And we have lots and lots of melons. So we're going to have... Let me see. Should I list all the different watermelons?
Before we go there, so for the boxes, that's depending on what is ripe during that particular month or that particular week, people are going to get a variety of those. And some people may not have ever tasted delicata, for example. And this will be...
It helps you get a little bit more adventurous in the kitchen.
Yes.
And eventually... I'd like to be able to provide recipes for those who are interested in them, you know, so we could add that to our order form. If you're interested in recipes, check the box and we'll send you some, because I'm a recipe junkie. I always have been. I have tons.
And so then that would be the basic box. And then as I'm understanding it, extra, and Craig has but I let me get, I just want to ask another aspect of this, that the basic box, and then people can, for a certain price, which and then people can look at the extras, such as melons and garlics and fruit. And
so our basic box, we're just going to do one size option for now.
Right.
And it's just going to be a $25 box. You're going to get a large amount, a really good variety, and, you know, and it's going to be very affordable for the average Joe, which was a big... part of my mission.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then we're going to have $5 add-on items for those who are interested in kind of some more unique items, like the garlic, like fresh herbs. I have lots of different herbs. I love cooking with herbs, and I know quite a few people who do, but it's not, you know, the norm necessarily. So that'll be an add-on item that we can do. Plus, we might have a limited supply. We don't know what's going to happen with this heat, you know, and what's going to make it and what won't. But right now we have basil, cilantro, parsley, dill, chives, oregano, and thyme, and actually a few other herbs that we could distribute. We also have hot peppers for those who are interested in hot peppers. We can do that as an add-on item, or extra tomatoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we also have, we're going to have a limited supply of fruit from our orchard that we've been trying to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
we're going to have a lot of pomegranates, peaches, apples, plums, and figs are coming in.
Oh.
And so, yeah. So we'll have probably a limited supply of that, but that is an add-on item.
Well, and I do want to say time just flies after we really get into this and talking about the farm and all the different dimensions of it. And we only have about 10 minutes left. And so I want to make a point here that if people want to help out, if some listener out there is saying, how can I help? We're going to talk about how that might come about. But it's more than just... I want to say it's more than just a farm. I mean, a clean organic farm is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have, to be part of. But we're also talking about farm animals, rescued farm animals that this is going to help. We're talking about young adults that have certain challenges. They are being helped out. They're learning different kinds of skills and feeling better about being out in nature. Then you have veterans potentially that will be coming out. Plus the good food. I mean, there are all these benefits for people with these different dimensions.
And connecting all of these people who've been disconnected from society in really significant ways. And that is, you know, that is the major heart of my operation, is I want to connect everybody in this really big way, you know? I mean,
yes, yes.
I see a lot of hope for that. And the more people who come on board with the project, the more I can envision it all coming together.
So if listeners or and others that listeners know want to become involved or help out in certain ways, I mean, they can certainly go to your website. We're going to talk about that. But also, there's so many different ways of helping. You know, I mean, a person can come out and help on the land itself and also connect with what's going on. Or they may be able to help during picking season. You know, that's going to take a lot of labor to get.
Absolutely. I am very open to doing, you know, work for food. So if you want to come volunteer, help us harvest that day. Are you willing to get up and come over at 8? Take home a huge box. You know, I mean, thank you so much. Yeah. And I've been doing that with some of our community volunteers who've been coming consistently, and they're just raving about the food, and they keep coming back, and it's very rewarding.
One thing I'd like to add to that is that the opportunity for people to come out and learn about gardening. A lot of people like to garden, don't have a place to garden, and don't know very much about it, but really want to learn. And YouTube videos aren't quite as fulfilling as coming out and getting your hands in the dirt. So one of the things we're providing is education. So people come out and work with us and come to our programs that we'll be having on down the road, instructional programs, and they can just get down with us and learn how we're doing it. And it's a great opportunity for people to actually learn about gardening and have a place to do it.
It's amazing how much we learn every single day.
And if we're talking about, you know, wanting, I mean, I know that you're going to be involved in, or you are involved in grant writing because you need some sturdy fences as the animals start coming in.
Greenhouses.
Mm-hmm. And so people that have skills or people that have a little extra money or people that want to come out and just work and help or donate in some sort of whatever skills they have, they will be able to contact you, and you would be able to figure out how they might fit into this wonderful project.
And now it'll be, you know, a nice tax deduction as well.
Oh, that's right, with a nonprofit. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, so.
So here I have, and maybe you could elaborate on this too. There are two different, I'm looking here, there's fulfillingfeels@yahoo.com. And that is a website, right? Because you have...
That's my email address.
Oh, that is your email address. Okay,
yes.
Sorry. It says email address. I'm just not reading it correctly. And then you have the website, www.fulfillingfeelsorganicfarm.org. You have a phone number here. Can I give the phone number?
Absolutely.
So it's 530-510-0767. So you can call, you can email, you can go to the website, and I think we probably will need to repeat this in 5 minutes from now before we, you know, before we end the show. And just in the last few minutes, let's say we have 4 or 5 minutes, we could just kind of add anything that we want to add or make any further comments. Craig, I mean, does this sound exciting to you?
It does indeed. And I was just curious, Carrie, $25 for the basic box, is that on a weekly basis, or how does that work?
That is $25 per week. And then I would like to have people prepay month by month. Uh-huh. And I didn't want to, you know, lock people into a full season contract when we're trying to be year-round. That's our goal. So people would be expected to pay a month in advance. And it's a $25 one-time fee for the actual box.
Yes, and this is not unusual to...
What size is the box?
I can't even remember the actual dimensions right now, but it's a good size box.
I'm wondering, I don't know yet, at your website, maybe you would have a photo of a box.
I was going to say, if you go to our Facebook page... Or those who are on Facebook or know someone who is, you can search Fulfilling Fields Organic Farm. And I have lots of pictures in there because it's very user-friendly. So I have pictures of all of us harvesting things and the projects we're working on. And it really gives you a good image of our farm and what we're doing and who's involved. And it and really, our boxes.
And it really is beautiful. I mean, that's where I've gone, to the Facebook page. And I mean, I remember this, it looked like a picnic table covered with just all these different beets. And then some
and
of the
of
people that work there, you know, holding up vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
And so
we're
so,
very proud of our food.
Look at this. Yes.
Yes.
So, there's going to be one size box. People can go to the website or to Facebook, and they can see the size of the box. I mean, you could be standing there so you could see, you know, compared to,
yeah,
you know, what a person is, the size of the box. But what I wanted to say, it is not unusual to prepay for boxes. That helps the farmer. That also helps the commitment. And I know that some places, and there was a peach farmer, and I can't remember his name. He was also a poet and peach farmer, and he wrote poems about his peach farm. But he would also have people, they would buy, they did, but not really. They would buy a tree, right? I mean, it wasn't like you took the tree, but that was your tree.
Oh.
And so you paid for it in advance. And then when the peaches or the pears or whatever was ready, you would go to that farm. It's in Southern California. And then you would pick from that tree that you have paid for, you know, to help. Water the tree, to help the nutrients for the tree, to help the care and the labor of the tree that you would pay for. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. So
that's really cool. I thought about doing that for some of our local charities that have a food shortage pretty consistently. I thought about having little plots that would be assigned for them. Maybe that's something I can do down the road.
Yes, so many things.
I know, too many ideas.
So right now it would be, you know, prepay weekly for your box or hopefully per month, and then you would get 4 boxes per month. So that is wonderful. So I also want to remind the listeners about contact again. You can call 530-510-1767.
0767.
Oh, what did I say? I don't know. Okay. Can you read that again, Carrie?
530-510-0767.
Thank you. Or you can email fulfillingfeels@yahoo.com. And I'm going to spell fulfilling because it can be spelled several ways. So it's FULFILLING. fulfillingfeels@yahoo.com. Or you can go to the website, www.fulfillingfeelsorganicfarm.org. Now, we just have just a couple of minutes left. Does anybody want to say any final or make any final comments? I think this is, I just want to say this is a wonderful project. People can get involved in many different ways. I just want to commend you for all of your work to provide this healthy place, this healthy, healing, inspiring place.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to also get the word out, because a lot of people have no idea what we're doing.
That is true. That is absolutely true. So I want to remind the listeners that this is KKRN 88.5 on your listening dial. This is Dig This Environmental Watch. And next week, Craig, who do we have?
Well, it should be let's see.
Parker.
Parker
is
Pollard?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Trump Watch.
Trump Watch. So next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, is Dig This Trump Watch with Professor Parker Pollack. So remember, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
Tune in.
That's right. Tune in. And thank you so much, Carrie Lustig.
Thank you guys so much.
Jim Collins and Craig Boyer, and I'm host Pamela Spoto, and thank our listeners. Bye.